This is the program,
Faith Matters.
In this program, we'll discuss
blindness and other issues as they relate to God.
And we'll also take a look at many other life issues as well. Being blind ourselves,
we know
faith matters. Hello, everyone. Pastor Dave and Faith Matters. And across from me, of course, as always, the beautiful, charming, witty
Cecilia Lee.
Indeed, indeed.
Whoa, what's gotten into you today?
I don't know. It's a great, wonderful day. We've just come, and that's why I am doing great. Yeah, we've gotten the celebration of Easter. Jesus was dead. He's alive. But, you know, some of our listeners might go, yeah, sure. Yeah, what about it? I've heard the story before. Well, I'm reminded of a musical piece that helped me early in my Christian faith to learn the emotions and made me understand more what the resurrection is about.
What piece is that?
It's by Don Francisco. It's called He's Alive. Let's listen to it.
The windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound, half in hope the sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night, none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone in the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but just what, I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. 'Cause when at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. Even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Stood before me with his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Master, that is a beautiful piece. Very powerful.
It just brings home the reality that I felt so guilty, so miserable, but I'm forgiven because he's alive.
Just like we talked about last week. Pastor, we talked about doing several shows, and you mentioned that you wanted to do a show on daily Bible study.
Yes, I did.
And you also said that somehow this could be tied into Easter, though I'm not quite sure I see the connection.
Okay.
Can you explain this?
I hope so. I hope so. And bear with me and be patient a little, because these are some thoughts that have just started to come to the surface in the last year. So you may have to help me draw it out a little bit.
Okay.
For a lot of people, the tomb, it's empty. Yeah. So what? What does that do for me today?
And again, the idea of cheap grace, like we talked about.
And others, they're not sure if the tomb was empty. They're just not sure if Christianity is real and relevant. Other people say, now I'm going to come to the whole other end of the spectrum. Well, we know he's alive, and if we read God's word and study it every single day, it'll become more real to us, and we'll get closer to God.
Now, wait a minute. This looks like it's going to be one of those shows on you. Law, law, law. You must do this. You ought to do that. And if you don't, well, my goodness, you're just not a real Christian. I don't think I want to be a part of this one.
Actually, doggone, you've summarized part of the show.
What?
Because that's how so often people take it, is you should do Bible study. You've got to be next to God's word. And it's a law thing, to the point, law that you have to. It's your obligation. It's your duty. And one thing we've learned is whenever we speak words that are law-oriented, thou shalt not, they make us feel guilty because we don't do it.
That's what the law is meant to do. It is to show us, we don't do it. We're yucky, disgusting people. Mm-hmm, and it's to show us that there is no way that we can work out our salvation through the law, that is being perfect. And it also shows us that what we're supposed to be and supposed to do.
Okay. Now, with that, as I'm this groveling, wretched, slimy worm of a person because the law just beat me down, do we leave the people there?
Of course not.
What?
We go to the gospel.
And the gospel?
The gospel says everything's been done for you. There is nothing you need to do. Christ has done it all. I'll take all that homework you have to do, and I'll do it for you.
Homework spiritually, I mean.
Spiritual homework,
yep, kids,
yes.
If you're in high school, you got to still do the homework.
Sorry about that.
Let's apply that to Bible study. Instead of the law, what would the gospel be? If you take the words exactly, God's done it all, he's taken it for us, and we don't have to do anything. Oh, cool,
I don't have to study the Bible, yes.
That's not quite what it means, because on the flip side, people sometimes say, well, if Jesus did it all, he forgives my sins, well, I don't have to do anything, so I'm going to go out and live it up and hit the town and hit the bars and hit the whatever.
The old indulgence thing.
Right. And we don't want to go there because that's swinging around and forgetting the law as it is now a guide for us to say, showing us how we can say thank you to God. So we don't want to drop the Bible study idea. It is there to help us, to guide us. But when it's used to club you over the head, have you studied the Bible 5 times the last 7 days? And we go, that makes us feel guilty. And that's the law.
Right.
The gospel, I think one of the things would be is the relationship is dependent on God, not us. And he established that relationship and he maintains it. Now, the way I'm going to tie that into Easter and help you along a little bit more, and I want to think, especially we as blind people, may have heads up on other people when it comes to walking with God in daily devotion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, notice the way I phrase that. Walking with God in daily devotion. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I picked it up from the story. It happened right after Easter, and actually most people believe it was the afternoon of the resurrection. Two disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus.
Which two?
I don't know. It doesn't really say in the Bible. We really
but
don't know.
Wasn't it two of the 12?
No. No. The word disciple actually refers to any follower of Jesus at that time.
Oh.
So it was one of the others. And they were walking to the road to Emmaus, talking about the sad events that had just happened the last 3 days, because they were a follower.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, a man started walking with them. What are you so downcast for? What's going on? Well, haven't you heard? The whole town of Jerusalem has heard. No, tell me. And so they related the story of how Jesus, who they thought would be the Messiah, was mocked, ridiculed, turned over, and then crucified. And then this man who was walking with them said, but don't you understand that's what Moses and the prophets said must happen? And the phrase Moses and the prophets is referring to the first 5 books of the Bible, and the prophets pretty much rest of the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
That's the catchphrase for the Old Testament. It said that it had to be this way, that he would suffer and die. And he started to open up the scriptures to them. And when they reached
He showed them, well, look, it says it here, and it says it here, and is that what you mean by opening the scriptures?
Ah, hold on to that thought.
Okay.
I'm going to finish the story, and we'll come back to that. Good point. You're catching it.
Oh.
When they reached the town, the two said, oh, stay with us. No, I need to go on. Oh, please. So he did join them, and while they were at supper, it says he took bread and broke it, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. And they saw that it was Jesus.
Okay, I have a major
question. And then he disappeared from their sight. And then it says that they looked at each other and said, did not our hearts burn when he spoke to us? So they raced back and told the 12 who were hiding in the upper room, we saw him, confirming the stories and rumors that he was alive.
Okay, 2 questions.
Yep.
First of all, the one I asked you about, isn't that what he meant?
Mm-hmm.
Second, basic question, how could they not know it was Jesus if they had followed him? I mean, wouldn't they have recognized his voice? He couldn't have been that changed from having risen from the dead. The Bible says that his body was the same body, mm-hmm. the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. I'll take that second question first. There's two schools of thought on that. Either they were just looking down and so discouraged they didn't pay any attention, so engrossed in what they were doing,
mm-hmm.
that they just didn't pay any attention.
Okay.
Yeah, it's possible, but it sounds like they were with them for several hours walking to Emmaus. It's not a short journey on foot.
Mm-hmm.
And they were together at supper. I think, and some would say, well, it was now evening, and it was shadows and dark, and I think it's the other, that it was Jesus' way of showing 2 things. One, they didn't understand the Old Testament until God opened their eyes, nor did they see that it was him until they opened their eyes.
So God deliberately sort of tricked them?
No. Because of our own unbelief and doubts and discouragement and sin, we don't see God at work, even at times when we are believers. And it takes God's hand to clear away our doubt, our discouragement, our despondedness, our despair, so that we can see God.
I'm still not sure I understand.
It's the same way that when people have, all right, I'll come at it this way. Have you ever read a Bible verse, read it, and all of a sudden one day you read it again and go, oh my gosh, I never saw that before. I've read this verse so many times.
Yeah, of course, but that's different than seeing.
How is that different? You read it, you saw it.
But do you mean that they hadn't really seen Christ before that?
I think that's part of what's implied in this story, yes, that they really never saw him until then. There's more going on here than just external features, but there is the spiritual issue of seeing him as the resurrected Savior as well. Now, certainly the Lord may have cloaked himself in different clothes, that he wasn't the bright and shining person like who came out of the tomb and showed himself to the disciples. There's some things we don't know,
mm-hmm.
other than what the scriptures are telling us there in this story.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the keys with a story, when it is told, is to focus in on the point of the story and not doubt it, but accept it.
Sometimes that's hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the point of this story is, though they were walking with him and were with him for so long, they just didn't even recognize him until all of a sudden, a certain point, when he opened their eyes. And even as he was talking about the scriptures, they didn't recognize that it was him.
Yet they began to understand, oh, he's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And a lot of times that's how knowing God is. And same is true with about human beings. I mean, every day I live with my wife, I get to know her better and better and better and understand parts of her that I never understood about her personality.
Even after 21 years?
Even after 21 years.
Wow.
And so it is with our God. And now that's why people like to study the Bible, is they start to get to know him better and better and better. And one of the things that I probably need to say right away is studying and reading the Bible daily or weekly, it's not a bad thing. Do it if you can.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, I don't think people need to feel guilty. Now I'm going to journey down a different road, and then I'll tie these stories together, okay?
All right.
Prior to Martin Luther, how did people understand and learn?
They were told by the priests, mm-hmm. and before that, they were told by the people that lived the events.
Okay. How many people, just prior to Martin Luther's time, could read?
Not very many.
Right. What changed that?
The printing press.
Yes. About the time of Martin Luther, one of the key inventions of that era that we know of, as well as one of the main proponents that got the Reformation moved into all of Europe. There were several reformers just like him in almost every century, but none of them had the worldwide effect, except for Luther, because it was printed, handed out, and people were taught how to read, and then they could read it for themselves and absorbed.
Didn't studying the Bible used to be a crime for the common person?
Sometimes. But now, how did the common person study the Bible and learn about God?
Through going to church.
And what happened at church?
The priest told them what the Bible said.
Mm-hmm. And so it was an oral interpretation and explanation. What else took place in... Oh, you might not know what else took place in church. In the Gothic churches... Just dawned on me. I could see for 11 years, so I do remember seeing this. In fact, I remember seeing them in the evenings as the light was coming through the stained glass windows.
The stained glass windows told the stories
in pictures. In pictures. And it's amazing how detailed these pictures became. As well as then the people were able to communicate and relate better in stories. When the printing press was invented, all of a sudden, the way people think and move and live and process evolved into what we call the modern era.
Mm-hmm.
The modern era is based upon gain some knowledge, piece this knowledge with some more knowledge as you've read here, and together, collectively, you synthesize it, and it almost is like building blocks. You put three blocks down, you can put two more on top of it, and then on top of those two, you can put one. So you've got a pyramid. And every time you do that, what you do is you widen the base, so you can put more in it, and that way the pyramid gets higher and higher and higher. And the modern era is based upon knowledge, which is gained by reading. And so everyone has believed the way we gain knowledge from God and get closer to God is by reading. And it's always pushed and promoted that daily study and reading of God's Word will help build that base so that it gets broader and broader, so you can get higher and higher in the pyramid and get closer and closer to God, as though getting higher and higher gets you closer and closer.
Mm.
So it's always based around knowledge. Now, knowledge is only one of three components of education.
Yes, we've been talking about this because of the Christian Blind Institute.
Yes, what are the other two?
The other two are attitude,
mm-hmm.
that is what we think or believe about something,
mm-hmm.
and skill.
And skill. And that's putting the attitudes with the knowledge together into action. All three components are a factor in our life. It's my belief that too much in the last 500 years, at least the last 200 years, there's been a heavy emphasis upon knowledge.
Mm.
And that is then carried over into Bible study, almost to the point of forgetting the attitude and the skill.
In other words, the more times we've read through the Bible, the better we are.
Correct. That's what it almost is implied. And so if you don't read it, then the less better you are. Now, let's take it again back to prior to Luther. Does this mean humans only lived and died in their relationship with God by God's word if they read it? I don't think so.
No.
because for centuries people believed and the church grew and spread and wonderful things happened, but it happened in a different way. It happened through the oral transmission of his word as in knowledge of, and that knowledge came, rather than facts and figures, it came through stories. The stories then were able to shape one's attitude so that then you can act upon it. Can I give you one example?
Mm-hmm, sure.
I don't think I've given this one on the air yet. I remember visiting a real good friend. He happens to be a pastor, but that's really not much to the story, except for it meant he had a very, very busy life.
Mm-hmm.
And we, my daughter, Tori, at that time was a year and a half old. Or was she only a year? Very, very young. He had a daughter who was a little bit older than her. And he came, and we stayed the whole week up there. We just took a vacation. They said, fine, we have a huge house. Just stay here in the parsonage. And so we did. We relaxed. We enjoyed it. And when he came home, the he opened the door, and I was in the kitchen and go, oh, man, it's been a day. Yeah. And then he'd say, excuse me, Anna. Oh, where's my Anna? There you are. Aww. Oh. And all, it was like a night and day difference between, he set his weariness aside from the day, and he became daddy. And he was just such a wonderful dad, and I saw how he interacted and related. And if the phone rang, oh, just a minute, Anna, I got to go answer the phone. And it was almost like, well, I'm now back to pastor.
Turned off, like light switch mm-hmm, turning on and
mm-hmm,
on.
Mm-hmm. And when he was done on the phone, then he went back, and in the evenings the same way. And I lodged that in my mind and thought, this is a neat dad who sets things aside to be a loving, caring dad, willing to get down. And he did. He got down and played with her and piggybacked ride her and just did fun, neat things. Well, there's a couple basic things that I learned in that story of a week that I could put down in probably just a couple sentences. A father is patient and kind. A father takes time for his children. A father sets aside the weariness of the day and rejuvenates for his family when he comes home. Now, maybe I could even put it even in one or two words. Now, if I said that to somebody and said, here, this is the model and what you need to do. This is the knowledge to be a good father. Would they get it?
No.
Probably not. No.
No.
I saw his attitude and how he carried his knowledge into what he did with his daughter. And so I could see, experience, and know firsthand, I got the knowledge, I got the attitude, and how he applied it in the skill of action. And now I do the same for my girls.
Of course.
That, I think, is how, for centuries, people learned about Jesus and how he loves and forgives us. He died on the cross for our life changing and for our eternity.
Because someone told them and modeled it for them.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So what does this teach us about how we should study the Bible? I mean, there are all kinds of things. I mean, Lutheran Library for the Blind has Today's Light, which is good because you can read through the Bible in 2 years' time, and that's good, and I've used that somewhat.
A monthly magazine we send out free of charge to help you through it. That's right.
Then, there's Portals of Prayer, which is really good.
A daily devotion, giving you a Bible verse and a thought for the day.
And then there's Prayers in the back in case you want to use that, and there's Family Devotion section in there in case you want to use that. So there are wonderful things that can be used.
Yes, and those are all good. And let's not forget the Bible. Lutheran Braille Workers, our sister organization,
yes,
provides free of charge
the entire NIV Bible in
Braille,
multiple languages.
Or large type in all different type of languages. Right. So we can have God's Word. Okay. Coming back to the people walking on the road to Emmaus. Remember, I don't like to say daily study of God's Word. I like to say walking with God in daily devotions. It begins with the attitude, God, I'm here to learn from you. What will you teach me today? I want to grow as your child.
That doesn't mean necessarily sitting down at a specific time and saying, teach me now.
That's correct. It's throughout the day. It's an attitude that I hold and I continue to come back to every hour, if not every half hour, if not every 10 minutes, sometimes even all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm doing that, then as I have opportunity, I do try to read God's Word. And there are some weeks, even as a parish pastor before and even now as in my role as Director of Blind Missions, I only get to look at God's Word on Sundays or something in between.
No.
Yes. But.
You mean I don't have to feel guilty because I don't study it every day like I'm supposed to?
That's correct. Now, the other thing I do, though, is when I hear God's Word, I work at not just hearing it for the moment. I try to absorb it like a sponge so I can reflect upon it throughout the week.
It would be like if you gave me a lesson of some sort, one of your many lessons on how to be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back and we've hung up from our conversation or said goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day I have a situation and I go, that reminds me of what Pastor said yesterday he's right. If I try this and that, and
mm-hmm.
boy, that makes sense. Just like you were talking about with this other pastor friend of yours.
Right.
That makes sense.
Right.
Absorbing it, thinking about it, as God says, meditating on His Word all the time.
Yes. I visited a church for my daughter's Girl Scouts program this last Sunday, and the pastor spoke about Job. And as the story of Job, when Job said, you know, give me a reason why, O God, and God in chapter 41 of Job stood up and said, all right, stand up like a man and take it. Were you there when I set the earth on its foundations? Were you there? And he keeps repeating these. And then it says, and I will give you an answer because I am God. And I remember the story. And so as it was read, I listened to hear it at the moment, but then also listened to hear it so I could hear it again and again throughout this week until the next opportunity to hear God's Word, when then I plugged in my mind saying, okay, here's the knowledge, here's the learning, grab it, hold it, and then play with it until the next time.
That doesn't mean forgetting what you've learned before. That means that
correct.
There's a new opportunity to learn something new.
Correct. And so as the week goes on and I go back to that knowledge, the knowledge then can shape and form the attitude and skills. And that's why it's not a sit down, read, study. It's almost a get it somewhere, but then it's a working, walking, talking with God.
Wow.
And that's why I like the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Jesus was walking, talking. Oh, didn't you realize he had to die in order to be the Savior? And sometimes as the journey starts, you don't recognize that it's God. But somewhere down the end of the road, you all of a sudden, because God's Word of knowledge is working in your heart and it shapes your attitudes and then your skills, all of a sudden go, whoa!
Yeah, of course. So the things which these disciples had learned all their lives, now mm-hmm. finally, I'm answering my own question that mm-hmm. I asked earlier here, the things that they had been taught finally made sense to them.
Right.
They finally had the relationship between what was said back then and what had happened now.
Yes. Yes.
So Christ then was simply, his appearance to them was simply the proof. This has been fulfilled. It was simply the icing on the cake in some ways.
That is right. Now, with this type of Bible study, there is also a danger. Even as with the other one, you can feel guilty because you don't do it. Well, with this one, you can get lazy. Oh, yeah, God's Word, I'll hear it, and then I'll walk with it. If you don't work at that, it will not happen. And so the danger there is just kind of letting it flow in and away.
So part of it is up to us.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
May God grant that we can hear His Word every week, every day, and that we can learn from it, and we know that He will help us to do so.
And even as we hear God's Word, we also would like to hear from you.
That's right.
About this program or any others. Give us a call, 314-776-3694.
Or send us an email at faithm@faithmissions.org. at acbradio.org.
Because we know faith matters.